Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
There's a 1927. Thanks, Mickey. We should have lit those before Doris and Mandy played, though, because that was the best music of the day until Cheryl comes after me to sing, my favorite singer. 1927. There was a husband and wife and a sister-in-law who came out of the hills of Virginia, the Carter family. And Mother Maybelle took the guitar world by storm with what they call the Carter scratch. Simple. With her thumb, she picked the bass notes, and with her finger, she just scratched the, you know, with the back of her hand. It was just, they would sing songs like this. When troubles surround us, when evil comes, body grows weak. Forget us, sends down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. God sends his pure, sweet love, sign from above, on the wings of a dove. On the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. Trouble he had some, but he was not forgotten. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the water that day, he was baptized in the usual way, but when it was done, God blessed his son, sent down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow. This, you can applaud for me. That'd be great. I'm just kidding. Cheryl's going to come and sing for us. Cheryl Powell is one of my all-time favorite singers. And not only that, she is also a member of the, not the Carter family, but the Campbell family. And so they've always been so special to all of us.
Savior is Jesus my cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land.
And I am telling you, that is a gift. It's amazing. Cheryl, you are the female version of George Beverly Shea, isn't she? It's the same gift. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing to me. And way better looking. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 95, please, if you would turn there with me. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Lord, we've all gathered here again today because of your goodness to each of us, because you've called our names. And we've trusted in what you have done through your son, Jesus, on that cross. And now we open this love letter to us, this truth that we hold in our hands. Thank you so much for your word. May you open it to us today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So often, we try adding stuff to what we believe. We try to help God. Instead of sticking to the basic, simple, profound
truths of Scripture. And in this psalm, this is an incredible psalm because it sticks to four incredible basic truths that we need to worship around. We need to remember this when we get together, these very, very important things. Sitting in this room right here is enough people to change the whole world. If we would just take these simple truths seriously. You represent Him in this world. And so, in order to stay on track, we need to stick to these simple truths. You belong to Him. You represent Him in this world. I remember I went on a ninth grade trip to Washington, you know, like from Mason Junior High. My dad thought that was a big deal. Okay, he thought it was a big deal. He took me aside before we got on the bus early in the morning. It was still dark. He said, "Listen, you're going away with all these kids. You just remember something. You're a Hampton. You represent this family. Do you understand me?" I said, "Yes, sir." And I got on the bus. And I didn't get in any trouble that I got caught with anyhow. No trouble like that. Well, you're a Christian. You put your faith in Jesus. It means you represent Him in this world. You might not want to. You might not want the bother, but you do. So it's real important that we cling to these simple truths, to stay on track, to stay healthy, to stay thankful. We got to cling to these simple things. You know, news today drives me nuts because journalism doesn't exist anymore. You know, you're going to report on a story, you verify it from two or three good sources before you report it. That's not the way it is anymore. Truth doesn't matter. What matters is spin and shading of the news to try to manipulate people to your position. It's replaced real journalism. It's sad. In fact, I had lunch with John this week. He was talking to me as he taught for many years at the university. The problem of plagiarism when people write papers, they're plagiarized, and they're not doing much about that. It's just happening. Nobody's doing the hard work of finding the truth and reporting it. Well, Christians have a problem in that we try to help God by reporting stuff that isn't true. And when we report stuff that isn't true and people find out that it isn't true, they're going to throw away the big truths, too. You heard the story. You heard about the supercomputer in Washington? Oh, yeah. It was able to track all the days of the existence of the Earth, and they were missing some hours, and they couldn't figure out why. And somebody in that office said, you know, in the Bible, Joshua was fighting the Amorites, and they needed more daylight, and they asked the Lord to move the sun back, and it made it earlier in the day and gave them another day. That's the lost day. Oh, it was reported all over the internet. The problem one is it was baloney. There's no computer that can do that. And people are still sharing this like it's the truth. You don't have to make stuff up to try to make God look better. He's pretty good at that all on his own. You don't have to make stuff up. How about the company logo? A lot of you people buy coffee there. It rhymes with $5. Okay, you know what I mean? It costs $5 too, so it's kind of interesting. Oh, they had this emblem, this logo. Oh, you know, it was satanic. Oh, that's a satanic logo. The hundreds of thousands of emails they got and the people that boycotted their business. And it was not true. Man, Christians, we mess it up all the time. How about the supposed statements of faith from celebrities that we share all over the place? And the celebrities say, "I never said that. I don't believe that. What are we trying to help God? This is ridiculous." And even worse, how about the fake miracles? Now, let me say, as we begin, as I make this statement, I believe in miracles. I believe that God created the world and He can work into time and space and miraculously change things. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've also seen people that try to invent miracles. How about that guy in the Philippines, that big super whammo pastor that faked the raising of somebody from the dead at his own at a funeral? They told everybody this guy died and they put him in a casket, and in the middle of the service he told him to get up and he did. And he was found out to be totally baloney. Oh, that really helps out the cause, doesn't it? What is it with us? We think we have to help God. We don't have to do this. So tell people the gospel, but before you do, get it right. It's really important that we do. This is a psalm of worship focusing on these most important things. The Jews still use it in their Friday night Sabbath prayers. The Lutherans have it in their liturgy. It's really a beautiful portion of Scripture. But when we replace that truth with made-up stuff, it ruins it all. If you'll ever notice, at the end of the Gospel of John, we spent a few weeks there last month, a couple of times. There's an interesting thing at the end where John writes, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down." And then the pronoun changes from "this is the disciple who wrote these things down." It then says, "We know that his testimony is true." What are you talking about? Other people had checked it out and agreed. If somebody gets healed, call the doctor. Let's verify this thing. If it's real, let's say so. Let's have the evidence. And there is evidence of that. Read Eric Metaxas' book on miracles. It's incredible. It's yellow. You can find it. We might have a copy here if you'd like to borrow it. It's really well done on the whole. But verify it. Let's not do this stuff. I could make stuff up. I could tell you a partial truth. This week, there were men all across the front here. 20. All on their knees. It was a beautiful movement of God. Or they were installing carpet and new electronics. I can't remember which. You know, I mean, we can make this stuff up. You can start with something little and make it bigger. Don't do that. Don't do it. The Bible is verified. There is a witness to it. It's true. Let's not listen. If somebody says they had a miracle, don't believe it until you check it out. You know, you're not going to hurt their faith by saying, "Really? And did you go to the doctor about that? What did the doctor say?" Okay? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, and we should be doing it. So let's go to these basic truths, okay? First of all, it's this. Number one, it tells us in this psalm that he alone is God. Listen, cling to that. We have no one else to fear. We have no one else to answer to. It says, "For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." This is really great. When he says great King, it gives the idea of his ability. He can do anything. He's all powerful. Omnipotent is the theological word. He can do anything. What's your need? What is your impossibility that you're facing? I'm here to tell you, according to the Scriptures, we have a God who is all-powerful. You know, every now and then when I'm driving down Huron Street in Pontiac, I have to take a lap around Webster School. That place has been locked up for a long time, empty. But I'll tell you what, I hate to say this out loud, but 60 years ago, I had a lot of memories from that place. I remember a lot of things. I remember the contest that always went on among boys. My dad can beat up your dad. What is it with little boys? They need a he-man of a dad, right? My dad can beat up your dad. I'm going to tell you something. Our Father can handle anybody. He is the great God. He is the King above all gods, it says. The King is the idea. He has authority. He has authority over all. That's beautiful. I told you about my friend John Lennox, who I just love. I've never met him, but he's a friend of mine because I've watched so many of his YouTubes. John Lennox is a mathematician out of Oxford University, a brilliant, wonderful, older Christian gentleman. Just love him. He's got that Northern Ireland accent. He's a little pudgy, kind of looks like Santa Claus. How do you not love a guy like that? But I told you before, he was debating Richard Dawkins, and Dawkins was talking, "Oh yeah, you believe that there's this God," and is taunting him. And instead of backing up and trying to change the subject, John just said, "Oh Richard, it's way bigger than that. It's way worse than that, John. Richard, you're going to have to stand before him someday and give an answer." Man, was it quiet in the Museum of Natural Science in Oxford that night when John Lennox said that. He is the King. He has all authority. And he is the King above all gods. That's the whole idea of supposed gods, right? These supposed gods that people say they worship. The Lord is the one with all the authority. These others don't exist. Isaiah chapter 44, Isaiah talks about people that put idols up and worship false gods. He said, the guy cuts a tree down. Get this, a guy cuts a tree down, splits half of it up for firewood to keep him warm, and with the other, he makes an idol to bow down and worship and say, you've made me. And Isaiah, it's in the Hebrew, he says, are you kidding me? Okay, I mean, it's just absolutely silly. You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. There is the saddest verse in the whole Bible. I've told you before, I'll tell you again. They said, we're going to sacrifice a bull to our gods. You sacrifice one to Baal, I'll sacrifice one to the living God of Israel. You guys go first. Well, they sacrificed the bull. But nobody can light a fire under it. They got to call fire from heaven. Let the God who answers with fire from heaven, he is God. And the people of Israel said, that's reasonable. So the prophets of Baal dance around and cut themselves and prophesy and do all of their religious mumbo jumbo for the whole day. And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's in deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping. It must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears as their custom was until their blood flowed. And here's the statement. Midday passed. They continued their frantic prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. You want to know why? Because they don't exist. There is one God. He alone is God. Here's another thing that we're taught about here too, is that he is the creator and sustainer of everything. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry ground. It's absolutely true. I'm going to just kind of blow through this, but he made it. He made it. Look, I know it's not fashionable to believe in creation. I know it's not fashionable. I know you get beat up about that. But listen, when somebody asks you if you believe in the whole idea that we evolved from some scum pond into humans, you just say, look, that's impossible, man. Are you really, you believe that? Oh, V.L. Martin, an old pastor of mine from way, way back, he used to take a watch, all the parts of a watch, and put it inside a glass and start shaking it. And he said, how long do I have to shake this until the watch completely comes together, is wound, and is set to the proper time? Pretty good illustration. This is impossible, man. He made it. Here's the other thing. He also sustains it. We don't have to be afraid for our world. I know it's a scary place to live right now, but he is the one who not only made it, he did not walk away, he sustains it. Remember the old song, he's got the whole world in his hands, he got the whole, that was from the folk movement of the early 60s. It's true. He didn't create it and walk away. He is intimately involved in this world. We can cling to that. He alone is God. He created it. He sustained it. Here's another one. He's the God of history. First of all, I mean, see this. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. The idea is this. The people of his pasture is a general statement about all people. God is the God of history. In fact, you know, Daniel says something really interesting. When Daniel begins the writing of his prophecy about the fall of Jerusalem and how Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came in and destroyed that place, it says, the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles of the temple of God. How did Daniel know that? How did he know that was the Lord that did that? Now, it was painful. It was the destruction of his homeland. That's an awful thing. But how did he know it? I'll tell you. Because it says in chapter 9, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that he was a man of the scriptures. And he had found the prophecies about the destruction of Jerusalem and realized that God was in control of that whole mess. He still is in control of world history. The statements throughout Scripture are really amazing. He is the head of all that. You've got to be a person of the Word. Okay? You're just not, it's not just going to just come to you. Of course, the Spirit of God does a great work in each of our lives, but He takes the words of Jesus and the words of Scripture and applies them to us. We've got to be people of the book. If you're not a person of the Bible, you're going to struggle in your faith drastically, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we've got to be in the Scriptures. Be there. We were doing some work in here yesterday. We were working on some of the pews after they'd been replaced, and a couple things were wrong, and so I was trying to find a drill. I found a drill. Really cool. Really cool drill. With a really cool charger. But no battery. It just won't work. You can have all the parts of this, but you've got to understand your battery is only going to be charged as you are in the Scriptures and as you take time to talk to Him. I started thinking this week, how many zillion hours a week I'm looking at screens? I got them everywhere. I got them everywhere, right? I just looked at them. I'm about to look at it again. I do a lot of Bible study with them. I waste a lot of time with them, too. Listen, you think about how much screen time you take. Don't tell me you're too busy to take a walk and talk to Him and tell Him the things that burden you. Unburden your heart to Him. It'll recharge you. So He's the God of world history. Here's the other thing. It says, we are the people of His pasture and the flock under His care. Do you know He's also in charge of your own personal history? Not just world history. Not just the big stuff. But your history. I don't know what you're going through right now. But the Bible says in Proverbs that He directs our path. We've got to accept that as we move. Some of you are going through some really difficult things right now. One of the healthiest things you can do is just accept that you're going through it and start asking Him how to walk through it, to teach you that you're trusting Him to get you through it, because He is the God of our own personal history. You know, it's my friend Tom was the head of Mission Aviation. They taught missionary pilots how to fly. They existed 30 years ago here in the basement. They used our basement during the week. Tom told me how terrified he was when he had to take his instrument training, in that they black out the windows and you got to fly just by the instruments. You can't look out the window and see if you can see the airport. Okay. You got to fly just by instrument. And then when you get to a certain place, they take the coverings off the windows and you're 25 feet above the runway and you set it down. You've got to trust the instruments in order to learn to fly that way. He was such a sweet guy. He's in heaven too. His last flights that he flew as a cancer patient before he died, he was doing angel flights for the U.S. Army, flying soldiers who had given their all home from the battlefield. He's a sweet guy. I miss him. He's a lot of fun. Loved Jesus with his whole heart. But he said, Tom, when I learned to fly by instrument, it opened up a whole new window into my walk with Jesus. I've got to believe what he says and step out on that. He is the God of my personal history. So He alone is God. He is the creator and sustainer of everything. And He's the God of all history. And get this last thing I'm going to say. It's this. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. He's the God who still speaks. This isn't the God of ancient time, even though He is. But He's the God of today. He's the God of now. He's the God of your life in this moment, for whatever it is. Today, what a gift. Expect it. Expect it. He's still speaking. The danger is this. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. The gift to all of us is that God is still speaking. The Scripture is complete. He's not going to give you more Scripture, but He is going to direct your life. He's going to put thoughts and ideas that agree with the Scripture. You're going to listen to Him and you're going to follow Him. It's pretty simple. He's going to just make things show up. But we can harden our hearts and not listen. Like, I'm with a buddy this week at a restaurant. Can you imagine that? His phone rings, got caller ID. He goes, forget that. That's basically what he said, okay? Do we do that with the Lord? Not now. I'm too busy, or I'm too afraid of Him to even address Him. Listen, wade into that. Don't harden your hearts. Let me say one more thing and then we're going to go. If you have not trusted the Lord and you suddenly understand that you need him, that is one of the great gifts, the great moments of your life. Do not turn that off. Do not change the channel. Do not push silent. Do not push delete, because it might be the last time that happens for you. Don't take it for granted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, speaking to Israel as you did in the time of the rebellion. God said to them, and when they were entering, they were supposed to enter the promised land, but they wouldn't trust the Lord. And the Lord said, these people will never enter my rest. Respond to him. It matters. Y'all think about that. Let's stand together and pray, shall we? Lord, here we all are. We are yours, and these truths are real. They are true truth that you alone are God, and we are grateful to you. And we submit our lives to you, that you are the creator and sustainer, which means you will sustain us, that you're going to get us home just like you promised. You're the God of all history. This world isn't going to blow up, even though it seems like it's going to. It isn't, because you're in charge of it. You control things. And that you are the God who still speaks into our world, into our lives. May we listen to you. Lord, thanks for everybody here. We ask that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear in the week to come. Would you help us to pay attention to these little things that happen that are really big things when a child comes to us and needs to be listened to, when a parent is old and confused and just needs our presence, loving them, when someone's in need and we have the power. Lord, help us. We thank you for this. We ask for your blessing on everybody here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.